Of course, you also got lumped in with grunge because of the fact that you were from Seattle and every band that could play in Seattle was,
are we metal or?
Was getting signed at the time. I mean, that was a time, I guess, where everything did change and grunge became the mainstream, alternative became the mainstream. But when you look back at that now and you look at that time, how do you feel about that, being thrown in with that? Is that okay? Is it strange?
It was strange for us because when we started, we were, as Kim says, pretty insular. And we were also encouraged by each other and our fans that we were a band that was going to reach a bigger audience. We were always told that. I was told that from the very beginning of the band. And it seemed to slowly but surely happen, no matter what we did. But it was a slow but sure process. It wasn't anything that was ever going to be an overnight success. And then to feel that autonomy turn into being part of something else, the only thing I didn't like about that was I didn't like the idea that the perception would be that the spotlight is on not just Soundgarden but all of us because of what we mean collectively as a flavor of the moment, as a geography of the moment that's fun to talk about. Now there's a bunch of bands out of this little previously untalked about provincial place. And that was the only thing that bothered me. We obviously loved the other bands and the people in them and were happy for everyone's success and were proud to be a part of it. But I also didn't want to be a part of it because I wanted us to just be us.
Yeah, you didn't necessarily want to rise or sink with that ship.
No, that's why I didn't really worry myself because I knew we're our own thing anyway, regardless. I would get my panties in a bundle more than any of these guys and talk shit about everybody.
Probably.
Especially that word grunge. And I think it's hilarious.
I think Super Unknown was a big factor in a sense freeing us from that. Because it wasn't like, it, nor could it be compared to anything from Seattle or anywhere else. And I didn't think that we ever really had to worry about it then. And I also think that the other Seattle bands around that period of time were doing the same thing. They were kind of defining who they were on other levels that separated them
exactly.
from us. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter really is there's no such thing as grunge. It was just kind of invented and as a label to put on it to make it easier to market.
Yeah, sure.
And at this point, it's probably a great thing that we're considered that because it's also considered to be like the last vital movement in the history of rock music, really.
It sounds like you had such a diverse audience by now from what we were talking about earlier. Did you guys, even if the label wasn't getting in the way or putting any pressure on, did you feel any pressure from each other, on yourselves?
I think we always probably put pressure on ourselves. I think that's just our nature. And I think it's, you know, it's not a, I think it's also a band where everybody's very supportive and accepting. I mean, I was a drummer when we started out and I was learning to play guitar and contributing ideas to the band to a guitar player and a bass player who were accepting them, you know, and interested and happy about it.
Yeah.
But I also think that we're all tough critics on ourselves individually and on what ends up being music for the band. That's why the role of a producer becomes sort of redundant because if the four of us like the way something sounds or like a song arrangement or like an idea, we don't need a fifth Beatle. I think that slows the process down and could maybe corrupt something that I don't think is a good idea to corrupt.